We are now in the gold rush of Bitcoin, which will last for at least the next 10 years. And the reason why is that when you're first buying into Bitcoin, start with an initial investment. For you, it might be $1,000 or $100, and then have a plan of entry. So it might be based on your income, $100 a week, $1,000 a week. You keep stacking as you go. I also think, though, that you need to have an exit strategy. The fundamental rule is this is something that you must pay absolute attention to. Underestimating security for buying and selling crypto. Now, let me tell you what I've done in my life to try and increase security. One is I'm Matthew Fraser, and this is Crypto Collective. After making millions with Amazon and e-commerce, I realized that if I was starting again today, crypto would be my first choice. I'm here to help you take your first steps and build real wealth. Ready to set yourself up for life? Let's go. In today's episode, I want to share with you the most common crypto mistakes and how to avoid them. The first thing would be, if you're very new to this space, is jumping in without research. You must do research. Now, I'm going to put a caveat in on this one. I also think that there can be a bit of over-analysis, right, before you jump in. I know a lot of people who don't take any action at all because they're too busy doing the research. I would say, you don't have to know how a car works before you drive the car. You just get in, you know how to use the steering wheel and the pedals, and you know the road rules, right? It's very much like Bitcoin. You don't need to understand the absolute details and intricate parts of Bitcoin before investing in Bitcoin. But that said, you should still do some type of research. Now, I would say by doing a little bit of setup of, let's say, buying some Bitcoin, that is actually doing some research, okay? So what I mean by that is, if you're just sitting on the fence about whether you should or shouldn't buy Bitcoin, why don't just at least take one initial step in your research phase by at least setting up a crypto exchange? So somewhere like SwiftX, for example, which is Australian-based crypto exchange, is a place where you can buy and sell crypto and Bitcoin. And what you will do is you will obviously go through the steps of setting up that crypto exchange, and then you'll transfer funds from your bank to the crypto exchange, then press the buy button to buy the Bitcoin, for example, right? Now, by just doing that, you're going to get some understanding of how the system works and deepen your knowledge in the space, okay? Now, if you just put like $100 in, let's just say down the track you've decided after doing further research that you just do not want to buy Bitcoin whatsoever. It's too risky for you, or you don't believe in it, or whatever it is, then you can just sell the $100 of Bitcoin or just walk away, right? Maybe you'll wake up in like 20 years and your $100 is now worth, you know, like $100,000. So you might be pleasantly surprised. So that would be one thing to consider. Because the other thing too is what I find with a lot of people is that they don't take the steps of actually just setting up the crypto exchange initially. They do all the research, and then by the time they're ready to buy, now they have to go through the process of setting up the crypto exchange, okay? Which can take, it's not too difficult, but it just takes up more time. But usually by that time, you're so desperate to buy Bitcoin that now you want to buy immediately, but you can't. Because now you have to go through this process of setting up the exchange. So it will help you either way. The second thing, and the second the very common mistake, is following the hype and getting FOMO. And FOMO is fear of missing out. And look, I don't pretend to be a saint. I also suffer from FOMO, but it's trying to keep your psychology, your FOMO in check, okay? Now, here's a classic example. This just happened to me yesterday. A friend of mine owns a little bit of Bitcoin. And he rang me and he said, oh my goodness, I've just seen a YouTube video and there's these meme coins or other cryptos out there. They're going to do 1,000x. I have to buy them straight away. And that is FOMO setting in. You've got a fear of missing out on this 1,000x. Which means that if you bought something for $100 worth of crypto and at 1,000x, it would now be worth $100,000, which would be totally insane. Yes, it does happen. But with these type of what I call micro cap coins, where they go from like $100,000 to $100,000 of value, they're super, super risky, okay? And now, by putting $100 in, it wouldn't be that big of a deal, okay? Because it's like a speculation. And it's a big gamble. Because if you lost the $100,000, it's not going to ruin you financially. But where people really stuff up is they have the same type of FOMO, but they might put in something like money that they can't afford to lose, like $10,000 or $20,000, thinking it's going to go to like $10, $20 million and they're going to be rich forever. It's not that simple. And the reason why is because you can easily get rug pulled. And what that means is you put the money in and there's other people in the space who are far more sophisticated than you at following the market, and they're going to liquidate your money out of that asset before you can blink, okay? And next thing, you're left with holding next to nothing, okay? So yes, you can invest in these types of assets, right? These speculative high-risk assets, but you simply just need to know what you're doing. Just don't jump into it after seeing one video or seeing something on Instagram. The third mistake that people can make is keeping your assets on exchanges. Now, let me cover this off by saying that when you buy your Bitcoin, you have to use generally an exchange. Now, I buy my crypto and Bitcoin through a company called SwiftX, based in Australia and also regulated by Australian regulations. And they're also based in Brisbane, actually. You can actually see, when you speak to them on the phone, they're in Brisbane. And now, I have some things sitting on exchanges, but I also have some assets sitting off exchanges. There might be some cryptos that I want to sell sooner rather than later. Therefore, for me, I keep them on the exchange where it's at a simple button press to sell and liquidate. Other things like Bitcoin, I remove off the exchange. Now, why do I do that? It's to de-risk that asset. Because I'm holding on to Bitcoin long-term, I don't want to let a third party like SwiftX or any other type of exchange, decentralized exchanges or others, to perhaps have an issue where they either lose the Bitcoin, highly unlikely losing the Bitcoin, but perhaps they go bankrupt, perhaps there was someone within a company that was doing the wrong thing and they sent your Bitcoin somewhere else and they were maybe spending it on something else. You just don't know, because in history, there has been other exchanges, and I'm going to name one in particular, FTX. If you're not sure about FTX, do some research, because at face value of FTX, they were advertising all over the place. Even the Mercedes-Benz Formula One team had FTX on their car and on their jerseys, right? So you thought it was a legitimate, good exchange to put your money or buy your Bitcoin through. They had things like stadiums, FTX Stadium. They had Tom Brady and other big celebrities endorsing FTX. And ultimately what happened, there was some malpractice going on within FTX, and Sam Bankman-Fried, who was running the show there, went to jail, okay? And a lot of people lost their money, okay? So it could be in your interest, and in my opinion, it would be, to remove at least your Bitcoin or anything that you're planning to hold long-term, remove it off the exchange and put it into what's called cold storage. Things like Trezor, Ledger, or any other type of cold storage device. Mistake number four, ignoring market cycles. Now, just happens that within financial, traditional finance and crypto in particular, there are market cycles. Now, in crypto cycles, the cycle is every 4 years. It's just something that you should think about. That being said, I'm going to say something else here. From January of 2024, we are now in the gold rush, what Michael Saylor calls the gold rush of Bitcoin, which will last for at least the next 10 years. Yeah, right, all the way to 2034. And the reason why is that the institutional adoption into Bitcoin now is going to be absolutely immense. And there's going to be a rush in to buy as much Bitcoin as possible, which is going to send the price through the roof. So we may see that a four-year cycle doesn't happen so much within like a dump after 4 years. May not happen in Bitcoin. It may take another 10 years before the market either comes back down or has a major correction. So that's just something to keep in mind. Now, how can you mitigate that? You can mitigate that by diversifying your Bitcoin assets. So what I've done as an example is I have my self-managed super fund. I have three buckets. Self-managed super fund bucket, which I plan to never ever sell. My company bucket, which I don't plan to sell. And then I also have a personal bucket, which I do plan to sell. Okay. And I'm going to sell that crypto and probably not the Bitcoin, but at least the crypto in there, the altcoins, to use for other things, paying down some debts and some other things. And so that is something that you could consider. So let's just say you hold 2 Bitcoin. You could get to, let's say 2028 or even through this cycle, maybe you get to the end of 2025 and you think, you know what, I'm going to take some profits off the table, but I don't want to get rid of all of my Bitcoin. I'm going to hold on to one just in case that the market cycle doesn't happen within this 4-year cycle, like it dumps hard, okay? Because there's so much adoption happening right now, it may just continue to go up. Mistake number 5 is going all in on an altcoin. Now, I would say to you, if you are dead set investing, are dead set committed and orange pilled into Bitcoin, great. Go all in on Bitcoin and don't buy any other altcoins, okay? That is a strategy that you could employ. Ultimately, I don't have any love for altcoins. I'm going to buy some altcoins because I believe there's some better potential growth in altcoins, but ultimately, I'm going to sell those altcoins to either turn them into fiat currency, as in cash, to buy other things, or I'm going to buy more Bitcoin. That is ultimately what I really want to hold, is the Bitcoin. So when you talk about altcoins, they can crash hard within the 4-year cycle that I just mentioned. So probably by the end of 2025, that will be the end of the 4-year cycle, where things will then take a turn and start coming back down. And the altcoins, particularly gaming, probably AI, different categories of altcoins, they will crash probably, some of them even up to 90 to 95% from their all-time high. So don't get stuck thinking that you're going to buy one particular altcoin. You get completely invested into it, like emotionally, and you think it's just going to go up forever. Because chances are, I would say near 99.9%, that's not going to happen. It will come crashing down at some point. Now, the other thing to think about is you might have put all your money into one particular altcoin because you've heard from Jimmy down the road that this is the best thing since sliced bread. But what happens if it underperforms during a bull cycle? So you've put $10,000, for example, into one altcoin, but you could have put some money in that one, some money in another one, and the other one was the one that actually did well. So you're just putting too many eggs into one basket if you employ that strategy of all of your money into one single altcoin. Hey, just quickly, if you're ready to dive deeper into crypto and Bitcoin and build real wealth, join my free crypto collective community. It's where I share exclusive insights and strategies and live discussions to help you succeed, whether you're a beginner or scaling your portfolio. Click on the link in the description and join us today. Now back to the episode. Mistake number 6 is not having an entry and an exit strategy. So I say to any family and friends, when you're first buying into Bitcoin, start with an initial investment. For you, it might be $1,000 or $100, and then have a plan of entry. So it might be based on your income, $100 a week, $1,000 a week, $1,000 a month, right? You keep stacking as you go. I also think that you need to have, you definitely need to have an exit strategy, because what's going to happen is as the market goes up, let me say this. It's easy to look back in history and say, oh, I can see when the top of the market was and I can see where the bottom of the market was. So therefore, I would have bought at the bottom of the market and then perhaps I would sell at the top of the market. The thing is though, you never know when the exact top and the exact bottom are going to take place. So the only way you can take advantage of taking profits off the table as the altcoin or Bitcoin is going up, if that's what you decide to do, if you want to remove the profits, if you're not holding onto Bitcoin for long term, like decades, then you need to start scaling out of Bitcoin or your altcoin, okay? Start scaling out. So you're going to have to work out some numbers that's based on what you want out of this type of investment. Let me give you an example. Let's say you've got a mortgage balance on your property of $100,000 and you've invested $50,000 into crypto, you might say, once this crypto gets to $100,000, and this of course is depending on where you're buying in the market cycle. If you're buying near the top, well then it's not going to double. But if you're buying near the bottom or perhaps even in the mid-range of the market cycle, then it could double. So let's just say that does happen and it gets to $100,000. You might have written down already that you want to exit your position because all you want is to pay off your mortgage, okay? So when it gets to $100,000, sell the crypto, pay off your mortgage, and that was the strategy that you employed for your personal situation. But you might have a different strategy. Perhaps it gets to $100,000 and you say, I'm gonna take out my initial investment off the table, so you remove $50,000, leaving another, the house's money, still in the market that could potentially go up. And there's all different variations of that. Perhaps you scale out once it gets to 60,000, you take out 10. It gets to another 60,000, you take out 10. So your 50 goes to 60, you take out 10. There's all sorts of ways, but the fundamental rule is have a strategy in place, write it down and try and stick to it. Because once the market starts to skyrocket, if you're playing from the bottom, your FOMO is going to set in. You're going to think it's going to just go up forever and ever and ever, and you may miss the top, and then you may walk away with nothing. And that's definitely what you don't want to do. Mistake number 7, underestimating security. This is something that you must pay absolute attention to. Now, let me tell you what I've done in my life to try and increase security. One is I use a completely separate computer. I don't use the exchanges for buying and selling crypto on my main computer. I've got a completely separate computer for doing that. And anything related to that, I've set up a completely separate email system. I've got a VPN. I've got a restricted browsing network. I've tried to de-risk as much as possible by implementing a lot of security measures. There's even one thing I'm doing right now, which is a whole nother level where I've just bought my own node. So I'm gonna run my own server, and I've got the blockchain running through that solely. So I'm creating my own sovereign bank. I'm in control of my own Bitcoin. So don't do things like, for example, I don't use any crypto exchanges on my phone, okay? I've removed everything off the phone. I only use this separate computer. So if you're unsure about what to do, come into my community. It's absolutely free, and that information will be there for you to implement so that you can make sure that you protect your crypto. Big mistake is people use leverage. Now, this is for beginners that I'm talking to, right? When you come in, you may think you go to an exchange, there's an opportunity for you to use leverage, which means using the crypto exchange's money to help booster, I guess, a bet on the market going up or down. Now, people get wrecked with this all the time because unless you are a very, very experienced trader, and even they make massive mistakes, you should not use that because you will lose all of your money. So in short, if you're new to crypto, do not use leverage. Mistake number 9, neglecting tax obligations. This is absolutely crucial because right now in Australia, you have to pay tax on crypto gains, okay? Now, whether it's through capital gains tax, if you're a trader, it's treated as income. So any gain is treated as income and you pay income tax on those gains. For most of you and myself, I'm not a trader. So I'm not doing things, buying and selling cryptos day to day. Here's something that I heard the other day though, which I want you to be aware of. Someone said to me, what I'm going to do is I'm going to maximize my profits, okay? And I'm going to buy when it's low and sell when it's high. But this person, A, was not a trader. They were brand new to crypto and do not watch the markets on a daily or monthly basis. And the other thing is you must know is that you cannot time the top and the bottom. You can only look back in history and see the top and the bottom, as I mentioned before. Now, let's just say, hypothetically, they were able to buy at $100,000 and then they sold at $110,000, believing it was going to come, the market was going to come back down again. So they've now got a $10,000 gain. You've now got to pay capital gains tax on that gain. And if you've now owned that asset for less than 12 months, you have to pay tax on the full gain. You don't get a capital gains discount. If you hold the asset for over 12 months, you then only pay tax on 50% of the gain. So if you were to do that though, you now have to take into account that you're now going to lose a whole stack of crypto, essentially the money that you've now sold it for, that's now going to the tax office, okay? So you might find that you're actually just better off not to sell, and it's gonna be extremely difficult to time the top and the bottom. Mistake number 10, selling at the wrong time. I'm gonna relate this for people on property. It's very hard to sell property. And what I mean by that is, let's say you buy property for $500,000 as an investment property. And let's say within 6 months, you hear that property values have dropped. And let's say it's now $450,000. One, the only way you would even know that it's $450,000 is you'd have to go and get a valuation done on that property. Most people don't do that unless they're refinancing that property. The bank's not going to come knocking on your door to say, hey, we think your property's worth $450,000 now. We're going to take it back. They don't even care. As long as you keep making the repayments on the mortgage, you're good, okay? The other thing is, let's say you did get a valuation. It's now worth $450,000. You've now got to go through and you're thinking, oh my God, I'm going to sell this property because I want to realize the loss. But you're thinking, oh my God, it's going to crash even more. Well, now you've got to go through this whole process of selling the property. You've got to contact the agent, you've got to market it, et cetera, et cetera. You've got to pay more fees now. Okay, so there's going to be even more loss because you've now got to pay an agent. You've now lost the stamp duty when you purchased it. So it's a big rigmarole. Now, the difference is, if you bought $500,000, for argument's sake, of Bitcoin, and let's say it dropped to $450,000 within a month or even 6 months, you know, because you can see it on the chart, it tells you it is actually $450,000 worth now. And where people make the mistake, particularly in a bull cycle, but also with more particularly with Bitcoin, is they sell it at the wrong time. It is not the time to sell. You've just put in 500 and now you're going to sell for 450. That is a big no-no. Now, the only time you would think about doing that is if you absolutely have to sell it because you're in hospital, your children are sick, I don't know, something absolutely catastrophic has happened something unforeseen has happened and now you need that money. You would not sell it because then you're going to realize, otherwise you would not sell it, because you would need to now realize the loss, okay? You're now gonna put back in your pocket $450,000 instead of $500,000. That would be disastrous because your plan is to hold on to the Bitcoin asset for years to come because it will come back around within a 4-year cycle anyway. Mistake number 11, using next week's rent money. I hope to most people is obvious. Only invest money that you don't need for next week. Okay, so set up some sort of a plan. Maybe you can only afford to invest $50 a week, something that you just wouldn't notice because you'd obviously want to continue to pay the rent, the mortgage, the school fees, the food and electrical, right? So don't be gambling with the money that you're going to need into the future, like your day-to-day money. That could be a big mistake because you're going to need it so quickly back potentially, you might find that the asset has dropped and now you're going to realize a loss. Mistake number 13 is getting scammed. Do not do this. Now, there are some measures you can take. Simple, really simple measures. Do not click on links on social media, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok that are making claims that you can get rich quick. The other big scam out there is you might see someone like a Michael Saylor who's very, very big in the space, and you might find that you get a message from someone that looks like Michael Saylor, but that's because they're pretending to be Michael Saylor. Michael Saylor and other big cryptocurrency gurus out there, they make it a point of saying they will never ever contact you for anything, okay? So don't fall to that scam. Mistake number 14 is not de-risking your storage. Okay, and I want to tell you a quick story on that one. A friend of mine, he bought $50,000 worth of a crypto. He tied it all up in one particular exchange. It was a decentralized exchange, okay? And what happened was through the last couple of years, it was actually, I think, after the FTX saga, it collapsed because it was tied up with FTX and all of his money was lost. Okay. His mistake was leaving all of his asset into one exchange. Don't make that mistake. Okay, guys, now in wrapping up this episode, I'm going to tell you the biggest mistake that I made, but thankfully I didn't lose a ton of money. It didn't make me go bankrupt, but it's something that I want to share with you. And in the very early days, I didn't understand what was happening in the market. And that's because I wasn't paying attention like I am now on a daily basis. I absorb so much information now on a daily basis that I know what's going on everywhere. And in the beginning, there was one particular cryptocurrency. It was called Luna. And by all measures, it was doing great. I'd heard around the traps that it was, you know, the next thing, the next best thing. But what happened one day is I saw that the price was falling. And I thought, oh, this is interesting. And it kept falling and kept falling. And it got sort of fairly near the bottom when I thought, you know what? I'm going to put $1,500 in this because when it goes back up again, I'm going to make a lot of money. What I didn't realize at the time, though, that was Luna was going bankrupt, right? The money was exiting out of Luna like there was no tomorrow by investors who knew more than me. And here's silly me putting $1,500 into something that was never, ever, ever going to come back. And it hasn't. So guys, thank you so much for joining me on that episode. Take note of all those mistakes so that you don't make them. All right, see you in the next one. Thanks for tuning in to Crypto Collective. If you've enjoyed this episode, the best way to show your support is to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel so you don't miss an episode. You can also find more of me at I'm Matthew Fraser on all social media platforms.